Yes, Jamie T mit Tinfoil Boy auf Flux FM am Montagnachmittag. Heute Abend spielt der Mann, den wir seit 2007 lieben, im Astra. Und schon jetzt ist er bei uns im Studio. Wir quatschen noch ein bisschen über die neueste, im September erschienene LP Trick, für die im Studio andere Regeln galten als für die vorher veröffentlichten Platten von Mr. Trace. Wir reden außerdem über Studioaufenthalte in den USA, Rage Against the Machine Songs, die Schwierigkeiten, die Tinfoil Boy Nummer für die Live-Bühne quasi aufzubereiten und noch vieles mehr. Zunächst aber sage ich Hello and welcome back to Flux FM, Jamie T.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's no problem, it's good to see you again. It hasn't been so long, actually. You've visited us in July.
Yeah, I'm a busy boy at the moment. I'm around a lot, which is nice for once. And normally when I see people, everyone's like, where have you been? but now everyone's kind of like, oh, you're back.
It feels good to meet people who go like, you again?
Yeah. You're here again.
No, it's good that you're back, and I want to say congratulations on your album. When we talked the last time in July, you were just promoting the single.
That's right.
When asked about an upcoming album that might be on its way, you were like, well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not supposed to tell you about that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's here now. It's here. It's out.
And how's touring the record been so far?
It's been great. Yeah, where have we been? We've just done the UK, and we've just been over in Brussels and Paris, and now we're here. It's been great. It feels like it's kind of getting started for me. I'm still getting the last few gigs really feel like it's settled in, like we're playing really well, I think, and it feels great, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good to me. And I really, when I was listening to that album for the first time, I was like, oh yeah, I can really imagine those songs in a live setting very, very well.
They seem to work well. I mean, I definitely had it in my head when I was writing them.
Yeah.
So It's nice to be out on stage and playing them live and all that.
We talked about the fact that you had a new set of rules that you used when you were recording this album. When you were recording Tinfoil Boy as well, there was a new set of rules that applied to that song as well. How important is having a set of rules for you when you get into the studio? Because I can imagine that it helps a bit if you restrict yourself to certain sounds, or maybe you want to have like a sound philosophy before you start recording. Do you think about a set of rules before you start working on songs? Or
I do, yeah. I think about it a bit. And obviously then when you get in there, quite often it changes quite quickly because something might not work.
Yeah.
But so you're kind of always trying to just find a way that things are going to work quickly, you know, and however that's going to work, you'll do it. But I've kind of, you know, every time I go in the studio, I try and change things up a little bit and make it slightly different and come from a different approach.
You know?
And I think that just keeps it interesting for us. And, you know, we live in a world where you've got so much at your disposal, you know, I can get the sound of marimbas or whatever from anywhere, that sometimes it's quite good to keep yourself in a box, you know, and try and make music sound good with a certain amount of instruments or whatever.
And I really think it's important nowadays that you fall back onto instruments that probably aren't built anymore, or they have an analog quality to them. Because the good thing about native instruments is that they grew into a big company.
Yeah, yeah.
But the negative side is that anyone can use their sounds,
it's
right?
True. Yeah. I think there's music in the last few years, production has changed more than, you know, especially in the pop world, has changed quite a lot, and I don't know how to put it, it's very clean and precise and sometimes
quantized
and I find that all a bit boring, really. I kind of rather, you know, have those things moving in and out, and you know, tuning problems and all those things make it alive to me.
Totally.
So I kind of like the analog stuff.
It's one of my favorite topics, actually, to talk about to musicians, because I really have a few examples for that theory that it's true. There's just songs from 2004. You listen to them for two or three times and you know the song and you're bored.
Yeah.
And then there's songs by Marvin Gaye and you've listened to them for 4,000 times and you're still not bored. And that's because there's little mistakes in there.
There's little mistakes in the energy, and also capturing the sound of a room, I think is a great thing. And that's a talent in itself. Not to take anything away from people who do everything on computer. I think that's cool. But for me, I kind of find the fun side of recording is kind of more in the analog stuff.
You know? Yeah, cool.
That's for me.
Yeah, sounds good to me. When I was listening to the album, I did get the feeling that I was listening to an artist who does feel comfortable in his own skin, who does know about his sonic palette, maybe, or the sonical universe right. that he wants to use. I want to know, is it important for you as well to have a certain mindset when you enter the studio? Because I think it might be important to be good with oneself, you know, before you start recording?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a common misconception that people make that to write great songs you have to be unhappy or you have to be depressed or
yeah.
whatever. I find I kind of write best songs when I'm happy.
I mean, I don't think that depressed people write yeah. songs at all. I mean, really yeah. depressed people, yeah, they're yeah. just depressed, right?
That's I don't know. I know some pretty depressing music, but
that's true.
I kind of like to. I think the best music for me comes when I'm kind of happy and having fun, mm-hmm. and I try and, you know, before I go in the studio, get into that mode. I think it's important to live in the moment when you're writing songs as well, mm-hmm. and live in the present, mm-hmm. and not be. If you go in thinking, I'm going to write a timeless song, you're not going to write a timeless song.
Yeah.
A timeless song is written about a moment that kind of tends to become bigger. But
yeah.
you should just write songs for the present.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah. And I really feel that if you enter the studio and you have your songs prepared, that's the one part that you yeah. really have to prepare. But I think the other part is like the psycho thing that you have to prepare as well. You have to be like...
Yeah, I don't even prepare the songs before I go in quite often. So it's more like the head space than the songs. Songs can come easily if you're in the right mindset.
But I really, when I was listening to the album, I was like, this guy, he's in this right mindset right now.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah.
He just feel comfortable with the self.
I enjoyed writing it. Yeah, it was a lot of, just throwing things about and seeing what worked. And, mm-hmm. you know, which is how we've always really done it. But I felt like a lot of experimental bits and pieces got left off old albums, you know. Mm-hmm. So now that we're kind of on the fourth record, it felt like a good time to have a bit more of a mixture of everything. I feel like people know what we're about and we didn't need to worry too much about that.
Maybe it's a time, right? It's the experience that you've collected over time. So you'll be like, okay, maybe we can try this one sound out or this other
exactly,
sound out. Whereas when working on the last album, you would have said, no, it's not part of the Jamie T thing.
Well, I think, you know, this time around, this record, I suppose, is kind of almost got more. It's got kind of leans on some older stuff that's kind of from the so-called Jamie T kind of sound, and then and there's some newer stuff on there. So it's a kind of a bit of both. It's coming to terms with everything and having fun with it all at the same time. Really, it was really enjoyable to make for that reason, I think.
And the cool thing is that one's listening to it and one does get the feeling that it's been done without an effort, you know? Good music always sounds so effortless, although there's much effort in there.
Yeah, there is a lot of effort that goes into things, but you'd be surprised. I think, the best things come with very little effort. Uh-huh. But it's all the stuff you put, the work in, you put, down the line.
Yeah.
A few weeks before or a few months before, what you're reading, what you're watching, thinking, all those things are more important,
And another thing that I found interesting is the fact that they did experiment with new pedals a lot.
Yeah.
How does that inspire you to write new songs? Because I know when I buy a new piece of little equipment, like a mini pocket synthesizer or something, it usually only takes a few minutes and you go like, wop, beep, weep, beep, beep, wop, beep, beep,
Oh,
I can make a song out of that just because you have new equipment. Is that inspiring to you as well?
Definitely, yeah. If anything new, you know... it's always going to make something that you know, quite often I find I'll write a song on a new piece of gear and be like, oh, it sounds so kind of fresh to me. And then realize that I've written the same song, you know, like 4 years before, the same chords or whatever, because it feels new.
Yeah, true.
You know, so, there's only so many chords.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. If it feels new to you, then it's new.
That's totally true. That's the thing about... getting into new territory, right? Instrument wise or effect wise, it's really inspiring.
Yeah, I find it. I just also like, I'm a bit like a nerd about it. I just like you know, messing around with stuff and, you know, sitting on the floor with a guitar is kind of part of being a musician that people forget about. It's all kind of like, you know, the same as when you were 15 and you're messing around with a pedal. It's the same thing.
Yeah. And there's this one saying that says that a good song. If you can test a song and find out if it's good when you play it on an acoustic guitar with vocals only, and all the effects are gone and the rhythm is gone. And if it's still a good song with one guitar and one voice only, it must be great. Do you double check songs of yours like that again as well?
No, not often. I think there's something true about that in a traditional songwriting sense. I wouldn't say for everything.
No,
but,
that's true.
You know, it depends on elements. But yeah, I think
all the Berlin techno scene would be bad if you checked it
exactly,
out with
right?
an acoustic guitar.
So I think it works on a songwriting, you know, when you're trying to write traditional verse chorus.
Yeah.
Kind of. So there's a song on the album that called Power Over Men, which is...
We're going to be listening to that right now.
I always thought was kind of written in quite a traditional way.
Totally.
And for me, it kind of works really well on acoustic guitar as well. You know, for that.
Yeah, I can really imagine like a bonfire version of that song, actually.
Right,
She's got power over men.
Yeah. I do have a rule, though, that once there's a bonfire, no one's allowed to have guitars. There's something that's so like...
Do you remember the day that Jamie T burned your acoustic guitar just because there was a bonfire in the air?
It's the rules.
Sorry, people, don't bring acoustic guitars to bonfire.
If you
want to
play acoustic guitars at the bonfire, go see Jack Johnson.
Yeah. And make sure that Jamie T's not near.
Yeah.
We'll burn your acoustic guitar otherwise. Let's listen to Power Over Men, then we talk a bit more, and then we'll give away tickets for tonight's show.
Yeah.
Jamie T. She had power over. Jamie T mit Power Over Men. Ein weiterer Auszug aus seiner aktuellen Platte Trick, die heute nochmal präsentiert wird im Rahmen eines Konzerts im Astra. Wir quatschen noch ein bisschen über die Platte, bevor wir uns dann an die Ticketverlose wagen und Eintrittskarten raushauen für die Show heute Abend. What I've always loved about your music, Jamie, is the fact that you combine parts that are sung and parts that are kind of like rapped.
Yeah.
How do you decide whether to sing or rap a part? Does that happen while you're writing the stuff, or is it decided when you start the recording process? Or is it different each time?
It's different each time. I think I kind of, the older I get, the more I kind of like singing, really.
Sweet.
You know, like I like kind of singing more these days, but it tends to kind of just be, it's like you think of it like an instrument, you know. So phonetically, you know, you're just like, if you feel like you need a rhythm, then you know, it becomes more fast-paced, rappy kind of stuff.
Okay, so more syllables.
Yeah, it's kind of more to do with that, really, in my head than anything else.
No, because I remember when I was listening to Salvador for the first time, I was madly in love with that song. It was my favorite song of 2007, actually.
Oh, wow, thank you.
And because I've loved the way that you combined those two worlds with each other. It's always almost felt as if you were two persons, you know? Schizophrenic. Schizophrenic Jamie T.
Yeah.
But that's... It's decided as soon as you, or it's different each time.
It's
right?
different each time. Yeah, it's kind of not. I would never really think about it too much.
Cool. In an interview, you said that playing Tinfoil Boy live was kind of hard to you because singing that offbeat part with the boy, and then the guitar part you
trying
have to play.
Do the riff as well. Yeah, it's this is what I was saying to you earlier. It was just 2 days ago when I was playing a show and I was playing Tinfoil Boy.
Yeah,
I was like, I've got this now.
Yes.
You know, it's only been 15 shows into the tour. Yeah. And I'm like, I've got it now.
Oh man, the Berliners are so lucky.
Yeah, I've got it now. So. Yeah. Come down the show. It's sounding amazing.
Sounds good to me. So what's the live setup tonight going to be? Who are you with?
So we got support from In Heaven, who are a band from the UK, who got a fantastic...
In Heaven,
playing tonight with us.
And, what's their style?
What's their style there? I don't know. They're kind of heavy rock and roll band.
Oh,
they're
really?
Really good. Yeah.
Friends of yours, or how did they come
no,
up?
No, they're kind of just someone we heard of who's on the scene, and a friend of ours kind of, you know, said, well, what do you reckon these guys? And we're like, let's go for it.
Yeah.
So they're playing with us, and then I'm myself and playing with a five piece.
Good.
And we're going to be making a lot of noise.
Oh wow!
You know, some acoustic stuff, some real loud stuff. And,
cool.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, but one does get a little bit more of your aggressive side when listening to the new album. So
yeah, I think. Well, as I said, I think I kind of wrote it for playing it live. Yeah. So I think it kind of leans on the heavier stuff a bit. But we tried to play a bit of everything, you know, all the records, and it should be a good night.
I mean, and that's a cool thing, because I mean, I can understand bands who are like, oh, I wrote this huge hit in 2006 and I don't really like playing that song anymore. Yeah. I can get that. Yeah. But on the other hand, I mean, what if the people are on your show want to listen to that song?
I mean, yeah, I think there's a bit, it's got to be a bit of a give and take, isn't it? I like to play everything and I'm like happy to play anything. But there have been times in the past where I'm like, I just can't play that song at the moment. So if you just leave it for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then get a break from it, then you're fine, and you play it again, you know. But I like to play a bit of everything and keep everyone happy. It's the best way.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I'm really happy that you were here, Jamie. It was a great pleasure to be talking to you once again.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And I hope we'll meet again pretty soon. You're kind of a fast worker now.
Yeah, fast worker. So, yeah, I'm going to be back next week.
Yeah, next week, LP number 5. Yeah. Jamie T is back. There's one more thing that Mark wants to record with you, so you can stay here for a little while, please. Und die Leute da draußen, die aufs Jamie T Konzert gehen wollen im Astra, die können mich jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Wir laden ein, aufs Jamie T Konzert zu kommen. Heute Abend im Astra. Und hier noch ein weiterer Track von seiner neuen Platte zum Einstimmen. Wir hören Jamie T mit Tesco Land. Thank you, Jamie. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.